Let's open our Bibles this morning to John chapter 3 and verse 16, 17, and 18 today. And we've entitled these series of messages, The Father's Purpose. And I will explain why he did. But in the meantime, let's read together. I invite you to read along with us if you're visiting. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And as I do, and I'm impressed to read this again today, Psalm 119, 130, and I'll read that. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And as I like to read the Amplified amplifies that particular scripture verse. It says, the entrance and unfolding of your words give light. Their unfolding, I like that. Their unfolding gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension to the simple. Boy, we like that, don't we? We like understanding. We want discernment and comprehension in every area of our life. We like that. But how are we going to get that? We're going to get that by letting the Word enter in, and the Holy Ghost is going to unfold that and reveal that Word to us. And once you receive it, I like this scripture in Hebrews 4, it says, but the Word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So once you hear it, and light comes, then what has to be mixed with it? Faith. You have to do what? You have to walk in it and do it. That's what we need to do. Now, I'm just going to backtrack for a few minutes as not so much a review, but that we meditate on the words that God gave me a few weeks ago. Let's say this. This was the word that God gave me, just exactly how he said it to me. I enhanced that a little bit. But say this, God's actions have a purpose. Okay, so that means everything that you've been directed to do by the Spirit of God has a purpose. Every bit of it. Everything that God has directed you to do, personally and in ministry, because we all have a ministry, has a purpose. And the connections that God's establishing in our lives has a purpose. You know, some may look over and go, oh God, that man I'm married to, or that woman I'm married to, that can't be. Well, if it was ordained of God, then he had a purpose for you being married to that person. And you're looking on the outside. You need to see what God sees in that other person. And if you stay married long enough, you'll see that purpose. You'll see what God sees in that person. If you stay long enough. And one of the scriptures that I shared in these messages was in Psalm 119:89, forever, Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God's word is settled. can't be changed. And of course, in Matthew 24:35, it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. He's eternal. He changes not. And I believe that in James it says, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. That's what the King James says. He doesn't change. He's the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word never changes, ever. Doesn't change for your situation. You change to match the Word. You change. He never changes. And if we feed upon His Word long enough, we will change. We'll change from the inside out and change. And one of the things that I had wrote down when he said God's actions have a purpose, God, he is eternal. God is eternal. And his words are eternal. His purposes are eternal. And his purposes have eternal consequences or value. So all of God's purposes have consequences to them, and they have eternal value and consequence. And one of the things that I had shared in the past few lessons, and God's Word, and of course we know this from 1 Peter 1:23, being born again not of corruptible seed, 1 Peter 1:23, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, what? But of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Can't change. So we were recreated. We were created brand new by the receiving of the seed. The seed is eternal. God's Word is eternal. And his seed is incorruptible, and when that incorruptible seed gets inside of us, something's going to change. And in our case, we received eternal life. We were changed and made brand new creatures in Christ Jesus. And one of the things that, when we meditate on that, the seed, and of course everybody knows this that's gardened or planted a seed. Everybody in here at one time or another has taken a seed or seen a seed dropped in the ground. Some are farmers. I hear some are, you know, Archie talks about being on the farm. I was on the farm out in Illinois for a while. We saw seeds being planted. You didn't know that about me. But anyways. Anyways, the seed has potential in it, or it has purpose in it. A seed has potential or purpose in the seed. And God's Word has a purpose. It has potential in it. It's the seed. And so the seed is His will and purpose. And the seed is light. And as we walk in the seed planted, which is the Word of God, and revealed in us, we will be walking in His purpose. And as I said before, it explains to me sometimes, and not in all situations, but it explains to me why people are walking in the dark, whether they don't know Christ, and some who do, are walking, bumping around in life, not knowing what they're there for. Which is strange to me, but it happens. People cannot walk in the Word of God and not have the Word of God lighten their path. And you've always heard me say this, you can't steer a parked car. You can't steer a parked car. You've got to walk in the light that you have, and when you walk down the path a little more, more light. Which is what? His purpose for you. And so as you walk down the path that God has ordained for you, you're going to know that purpose clearer and clearer and clearer as you walk in the light of God's Word. And of course, we know that in 1 John 1:7, it says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we will have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. There's a scripture that I want to get to. I want you just for a moment today, I want you to just take a look at 2 Corinthians, just for a moment, before we start the lesson here today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want you to look at verse 11 and 12 and 13. 11, 12, and 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, 12, and 13. You know, the more you look at the scripture, it always comes back to your heart. Always comes back to your heart and the light of God's word and being led by a spirit. But I found this scripture very interesting. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And you may read right over it and it may look a little obscure to you in the King James. But in the Message translation, I'm going to read it first in the King James. It says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Now that may seem kind of Elizabethan, like what does that mean? Let me read this. Now, if you look up the words, if you take the time, because I did take the time and look them up in a concordance, when it says, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Straitened means to be cramped. It means to be in a narrow place. It means to be straitened. I mean crimped. And it says where? In your own bowels. That's your inward affections. That means in your kindness, your benevolence, your compassion. So in this scripture here, it's saying you're not straitened in us. Our hearts are enlarged. We're not crimped. It says here, you're not straitened in us, but you're straitened in your own bowels. And then he goes on to say, be ye also enlarged. Be enlarged. Now listen to the Message translation. And keep this scripture in mind as we go through this lesson. This is the Message translation. Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. See, God has given us abundance. He's given us the Holy Ghost. He's given us His Word. We're not crimping you in. We're not straightening you. You're living your lives in a small way. That's what he's writing to the Corinthians. That's what Paul's saying. He said, the smallness you feel comes from within you. That's your own thinking. You need to be transformed and changed by what? The renewing of the seed and the Word of God. So you begin to find out your purpose. You begin to know who you really are in Christ. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And every one of us have walked through places in life where we felt we're being crimped in or straightened or restricted or cramped. I can't do this. I can't go there. I can't do this. I can't do that. We didn't straighten you. The smallness that you feel is from within. Isn't that good? That blessed me. Because God, in His Word, is saying, I've given you the kingdom. I've given you everything. I've given you my Spirit. I've given you my Word. I've given you the name of Jesus. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So he goes on. He says, your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. Oh my goodness. So he wants us to enlarge our vision. He wants us to enlarge inside what we think, about our life and situations. He wants us to enlarge. Amen? Every one of us can go there. All of us. We can think, but I can't do that. Oh my. Who says so? Who says so? Now, if God hasn't told you to do it, then you shouldn't. But if He has, if He's given you direction, you start. You do it. You put one step in front of the other and walk in His purpose for you. And you see it unfold. Amen. And I like, just before we start here, the same thing. This is in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. You know this. Brethren, I count myself, not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Do what? Forgetting those things which are behind. Forget that I'm crimped in and small. Forget that. Forget those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Listen to the Message Bible, it says, the translation. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. None of us do. But I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us, see, not thinking small. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. See? So we need to expand, enlarge our inward being. I hope that helps you. Now let's pick up today. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And I believe the Holy Ghost is saying something today to all of us. To enlarge, to expand in our thinking about who we are in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, and starting in verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Thank God for his grace. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now, look at verse 9, 10, and 11. It says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. He's not going to, he has. According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now look at verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We have it. Being predestinated. That means he predetermined. He decided according to the purpose of him which worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, I found it interesting that word counsel also means purpose. If you look it up, the word counsel also means purpose. So he predestinated according to the purpose of him which worketh all things after the purpose of his own will. Isn't that good? That is good to me. Now listen to this in the Good News Translation. In verse 9, 10, and 11. God did what he had purposed and made known to us the secret plan he had already decided to complete by means of Christ. This plan, which God will complete when the time is right, is to bring all creation together, everything in heaven and on earth, with Christ as head. Now listen to verse 11. This is the Good News Translation. All things are done according to God's plan and decision. And God chose us to be his own people in union with Christ because of his own purpose. That was God's purpose. Based on what he had decided from the very beginning. Now I want you to listen to verse 11 in the Message Bible, because this explains to me what happens. I experienced it, I've interacted with people, and I'm sure you have also. This is the Message Bible, Ephesians 1, verse 11. It says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. See, you can't find out who you really are and what you're living for apart from Christ. Amen. You can't. Amen. Some try. They dip into everything from A to Z. But they can't find out who they really are and what they're here for until they're in Christ. Because God has predetermined some things for every person. And they're trying to figure it out. They're trying to shoot rockets up and find people on other planets. Wasting billions and billions and billions of dollars. They ain't never going to find anything. Because he sent his son here to this earth to die for the sins of all man, and that he's going to bring it all together in Christ at the end. Where? On planet Earth. Not Mars, not Saturn, not Jupiter, or whatever other planet you can find, or solar system. He made those for the Earth, to benefit the Earth. And so in all of the wisdom and magnitude and expanse of God, he created this universe to bless this Earth. That ought to tell you something just about God. And so, as we begin to find out God's purpose in our life, we can walk in all of the fullness that God has for us. And sometimes when we begin to find out, this is what happened to me, when God began to say to me certain things and speak to me things into my life, I began to realize he's not holding anything back from me. It was a great revelation to me when God spoke to me and said, when I was chasing some sickness out of my body, and I was got over into a spirit of laughter, and as that quieted down, he said, if you'd work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you wouldn't have room enough to contain it all. God spoke that word to me and said, you have abundance at your disposal. You're not working it. You're not walking in the light. And he said, but if you'll do that, you won't have room enough to contain it all. So all he was telling me was, look, I've given you a blank check. Don't complain to me about what you don't have. The reason that you don't have it is because you're thinking small, you're living small, which is exactly what it said in 2 Corinthians. Enlarge your insides. Enlarge your thinking. Think big, because I'm big. And so the minute that word came to me, I didn't have two nickels to rub together. I kid that, but that was the truth. And I began to release words and say with my mouth. Didn't matter, because as far as I was concerned, God spoke a word to me, and I'm going to walk in it. And it didn't matter whether I have it or don't have it. Here's the question I always ask. Why would he tell me to do something that I already have? That doesn't make sense. Why would you call in and decree something that you already have? You have it already. I didn't have it. So he began to reveal and unfold to me, if you'll do this, you'll live in a greater way. You'll live in a greater level of blessing that you can help other people and be blessed. So for me, God is not really holding anything back for us. We need to expand and enlarge how we think. How is that going to happen? Through the Word of God, through the seed of God's Word. All right. And as we get it and we walk in it, see, you can come here week after week, year after year, and still be at the same place that you are. And you're wondering, why am I still here? Why haven't I gotten any further? I'm a little further, but I'm not really way further. Why? It ain't God. It's not God. It's a great revelation, but it's us. And the reason is that we haven't actually stepped out. There's something hindering. See, that's what that said over here. We haven't straightened you. We haven't crimped you. You have. And that came as a great revelation to me. When I remember years ago, a person came, not Bob Gass. I'll think of his name in a second. But he was a motivational speaker. He used to say this, where there's lack, there's slack. And I said, boy, isn't that the truth? If you ain't exercising, you're going this way. Where there's lack, there's slack. See? If you're lacking in a particular area spiritually, could be. You're slacking. If you're lacking. See? And that's what we're supposed to do, to examine ourselves. Now, Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 3. And let's just read this. I want to touch on a particular scripture today that God has put in my heart to share. Ephesians chapter 3. And let's look at verse 8. It says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent..." See, that word intent, you know what that means in English, but it means a purpose, it means an objective, a plan, a goal, "to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, I like this in the New Living Translation. In verse 10 and 11, it says, "God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Jesus Christ our Lord," or Christ Jesus our Lord. So God's intent, his purpose, was to use the church to expose, to reveal his goodness, to reveal the manifold wisdom of God. So, what he did, God's purpose, I shared this on Wednesday, God's purpose was commissioned and consummated in Christ. God's purpose was commissioned and consummated in Christ Jesus. Now, let's turn over to Hebrews. I want to get to this particular scripture today. This is a scripture that excites me. Hebrews chapter 6. And let's look at starting in verse 10. It says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do shew the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, 'Surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee.' And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Verse 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly," say more abundantly, that means over and above, that means more than necessary, "to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability," that means unalterable, "of his counsel," or his purpose, "he confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that which in the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now that's a lot to chew on, but let me read this from some modern English translations, and I'll tell you, it's revelation and exciting. Let me read this in the Good News. It says, God is not unfair. He will not forget the work you did or the love you showed for him in the help you gave and are still giving to other Christians. He's not going to forget. You may forget. He's not going to forget. Our great desire is that each of you keep up your eagerness to the end so that the things you hope for will come true. We do not want you to become lazy, but to be like those who believe and are patient and so receive what God has promised. Now listen to this. This is in the Good News. When God made his promise to Abraham, he made a vow to do what he had promised. He made a vow. God did. You hear me here? Since there was no one greater than himself, listen to this, he used his own name. Oh, glory. He used his own name when he made his vow. God did, because there was no one greater. He used his own name. He said, I promise you that I will bless you and give you many descendants. Abraham was patient, and so he received what God had promised. When we make a vow, we use the name of someone greater than ourselves, and the vow settles all arguments. Listen to this. To those who were to receive what he promised, God wanted to make it very clear that he would never change his purpose. Oh my God. Oh my God. God said here, he said to those who were to receive what he promised. What has he promised in his word? Is it healing? Is it salvation? Is it prosperity? What did he promise? And he said here, God wanted to make it very clear that he would never change his purpose, so he added his vow to the promise. Oh my gosh. He added his vow to the promise. These are the two things then that cannot be changed and about which God cannot lie. So we who have found safety with him are greatly encouraged to hold firmly to the hope placed before us. We have this hope as an anchor for our lives. It is safe and sure and goes through the curtain of the heavenly temple into the inner sanctuary. On our behalf, Jesus has gone in there before us and has become a high priest forever in the priestly order of Melchizedek. So Jesus was the eternal promise and purpose of the Father. Oh my goodness. And he sealed the promise with his own name. And what did Jesus say? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What you ask in my name, who's going to do it? The Father. Oh my goodness. So those things that he's promised in his word, he has said, he will never change it. And in my name, I will do it. So stop living in a small-minded way. The Father said, I will not change. And in my name, in Jesus' name, I will do it. I vow it, and I cannot lie. So if he said, you're healed, you're healed. If he said, you're prosperous, you're prosperous. Stop looking at the natural. Look at the supernatural. Look at the light of God's word. Walk in it. Enlarge your bowels. Enlarge your insides. And see what he's promised. He will not change. My goodness. Glory to God. Listen to this in the New Living Translations, if you're there and you can read along. This is Hebrews 6, verse 17, 18, and 19, and 20. God also bound himself with an oath, so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. Those that have received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. He's given us his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. God has already promised, and he said in this particular translation, those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. Boy, I like that. I like that. God never changes his mind. You all awake? Or are you going home? I don't know about you, but my spirit man is about ready to holler. John 14. Oh, let me back up before I go there. This is the Amplified translation of Hebrews 6, verse 17. Accordingly, God also, in his desire to show more convincingly and beyond doubt to those who were to inherit the promise, the unchangeableness of his purpose and plan, intervened or mediated with an oath. So God cannot change. He will not change. His seed, when we get the seed of God's word in us, we won't change. We will see and know his unchangeableness. We'll see and know that God's purpose and promise is sure. We won't waver. We won't fluctuate. When stuff comes, that's why when it talks about the man who dug down deep and built his house on a rock, so when the winds and the waves and the storms blew, the house stood. Because that person did what they heard, and not only that, they knew. You have to read also, if this scripture here is saying God cannot change, That person that withstood the storms, they knew, God's got me covered. I don't care what comes. I don't care how strong the wind blows. I don't care if the house creaks and shakes and whatever. I'm standing. Because God promised. And he confirmed it with his own oath, his own name, his own word. And of course, I just read this, John 14. He said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. And verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Who's doing it? The Father. You ask anything in the name of Jesus, he will do it. He's promised. He's promised. Time is up for today. God has sealed his word. It's eternal. It's settled. He's promised. It can't change. He's promised it to the heirs of salvation, the heirs of promise. And we have his own oath on it. So we can rest in that. We can be settled in that. So that if God has spoken something to you, please don't get off it. Stand on it. Stand on it. Stand on it. Stand on it. He's promised. He's promised. And he's not going to change. We change. He doesn't change. And so often, we never fulfill what God has purposed for us in our life because we give up. We change. He never changes. He never changes his purpose for us. So I encourage you to hold steady how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For who was with him? God was with him. And God is with us. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm finished for today. I believe the word of the Lord is to get us to raise our sights. Open our hearts. Expand our hearts. Don't straighten yourself. Don't crimp yourself in. God is big. And his word is big. And it's much larger than some of us are allowing it to be in our lives. I like this particular scripture verse in 1 Corinthians 2. In verse 9 it says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. That's the entrance and unfolding. He's revealing. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Let the Spirit of God expand your vision, expand your insight, expand your thinking. God wants to do great things in each one of us. Don't straighten. Don't think small. Think big. Think like God. Because we do have the mind of Christ. So we can. Hallelujah. Amen. Receive it today as a word from the Lord. I believe that he's wanting us to receive and let that seed get down and expand. Think big. Don't think small. He wants to do great things in each one of us. And he's doing that in this ministry. He's doing great things. And has continued. You think about this. God has supernaturally through the years, from the beginning before this ministry was, he began to speak and to determine and to expose. It's not a mystery. We can't say, Lord, we didn't know what you have purposed for this ministry. You'd have your head in the sand. Because he's been speaking it before this ministry ever was. He purposed for this ministry to be raised up and to be used in some capacity. And so he raised up Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton. He's raising us up to continue and to further his purpose. And so we need to not get comfortable. You understand what I mean by that? I got my little place. It's comfortable. No, let him expand you. It may be uncomfortable. He may have you start doing things. I don't like that. It's uncomfortable. Be uncomfortable. Let him work in us. Let him expand so that we can see like God sees. Because it's about people being reached with the good news of the gospel. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God today. Hallelujah. Let me ask a question. Was what was shared today, was it clear to you? Oh, good. So it was very clear. As Mommy and Daddy used to say, Johnny, was it clear? Yes, Mommy. Yes, Daddy. Good. Then do it. If you see it, do it. That goes for me. If you see it, walk in it. Do it. Because if you don't, what does the scripture say? He that heareth and doesn't do deceives their own self. So what we see, what we have enlightenment in, we have to walk in it. And it can be uncomfortable. But it's through that process that we're pruned, that we're corrected, we grow up in Christ, and we become fruitful in the knowledge of God and in the works of God. We become fruitful.